You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
We're not backing down. It's John and Gordy in the afternoon here, and
that's right.
We will. We'll have your backs. We'll do whatever we can to get the information out there.
That's right. We'll hold your hand as we go along here.
I'm even wearing AI glasses just to help everybody out. I took them off momentarily because...
give them a rest.
I'm going blind. They're prescription, and I think they work, but I'm not quite sure I can wear them all day.
Well, you have to break them in a little bit.
That's what I'm thinking, too. So I'm taking a little rest here, sabbatical.
Okay. Coming up in about a half hour, Mike McCabe will join us, as he does on every Wednesday from... his Substack blog, and he's got a great book called Miracles Along County Q. And Mike will join us at about 3:35.
All right. Last hour, I played some AI slop, is what they call it. Junk stuff they made
up
from
AI. Fantasy stuff.
Yeah, fantasy stuff. And it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech. And it placates... It allows the Red Hats, the megas out there to stay energized, to keep them going, keep them actually distracted. So they'll listen to that. They won't pay attention to the actual news or what's going on or how the rest of the world is moving on beyond the U.S. at this point. And I don't know if we're going to be able to stop that just because all of a sudden the orange one has said we're not going to invade Greenland. I don't know if that's going to change anything at all. And he's got a plan, but no one knows what it is. It's just ridiculous stuff. This
don't worry, though.
Hallucinating.
Yeah. He's a very stable genius.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yes, I can't forget about that. But anyway, I played this AI slop from Martin Luther King Jr. We have Charles on the line, and I think, Charles, you want to talk about that?
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon, guys. Yes, that is just nuts. And at first, one of the first things they talked about was criminal. The criminal is the one that sits at the Oval Office on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right.
I don't understand where I'm lost at is just the pure hatred of this party that claims to be all about religion and Christianity, but they seem to be very hateful. They hate people of color. They hate liberal women. They hate gay people. They hate trans people. How many trans athletes are there really in girls' sports? If they have to count it up, or if they can find these athletes, how many of them are really out there? I'm lost at the just pure hatred. I wish these people could step out of their bodies for a week, erase their memories, and let them see the two different parties and see who's the party that acts like they're just no home training, no nothing. I mean, you have a party that cares about people that's saying, wait, you shouldn't be breaking people's car windows and dragging them out. You shouldn't be breaking down people's doors to drag out a man who is an American citizen who they thought was a pedophile, but they were at the wrong house.
Yeah.
They were at the wrong house when and then you walk them out in the cold weather in shorts and no shirt and a robe. How would you feel if that was your granddad or your dad or your uncle that they did that to? I don't understand the pure hatred of this party.
Yeah.
And that's why they're all about hate. I've never seen them try to say, hey, we should work together on anything. And we're hated around the world. CJ and anybody else thinks that we're the almighty powerful. People around the world hate the United States. And when this man is dead and gone, I don't know if they will change their sentiment at how they feel about us, because they're looking at it that we allowed this man to run amok, not only in the United States, but around the world.
Well, the entire world turned against him. And I've got a clip that I'll be playing from world leaders, including the Canadian Prime Minister himself, really laying it on the line. So we'll be getting to that in just a few moments. But you're right. And, you know, that Martin Luther King Jr., speech that was used with AI to create their agenda, essentially, is just a reinforcement of their agenda. This is why they really can't speak about anything new that crops up in the news or something that we want to talk about or a new topic that we need to at least address with this administration, because they're still listening to that Martin Luther King Jr. speech that AI created, and they think that is the only agenda, the exclusive agenda in this country, which it is not.
Charles, thanks for that call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Charles.
Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Good afternoon, Mark. What do you got for us today?
A bit of levity to start. I mean, I can imagine a ZZ Top parody song for your AI glasses there. Sunglasses song. I'll have to take a swat at that tonight.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just the only heartening thing about the whole Minneapolis thing where they called the guy out in his robe. That what I heard this morning is apparently his neighbors were working to repair his door that ice had battered down. That kind of, brought a tug at my heartstrings to hear something like that. People are actually, his neighbor actually care about this man. And it says something about the people in Minneapolis, that they're willing to step up like that. But I mean, it is just disgusting that they got the wrong house and they couldn't even. Bothered to let the guy actually get dressed. I mean, make sure check his ID and make sure they had the right house. No, they want to have their little show that they want to put on to show how big and tough they are. I mean, it is just. And now we got Kyle Rittenhouse trying to profit off of this. I mean, he's talking about he wants to go to Minneapolis and show up with a mini mini Mac or whatever militarized weapon and that little punk should. It's just these guys are profiting off of death. I mean, the guy that murdered Renee Good is going to be a millionaire when this is all done and probably pull a gig on Fox News or be a right-wing influencer now the rest of his damned life. I mean, it is just disgusting that these people are able to profit off of death. The right wing just embraces them, and that it is just the number, they Levitt throws out the figure, illegals killed 4,000 Americans. I looked it up for in 2025, apparently, you could document 15 cases of an undocumented person allegedly to have killed an American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why they're able to inflate those figures like that and get away with it. I mean, she just plows on through, and it doesn't matter to them because CJ will throw these false facts at us, right and left, and by the time you look it up, he's already moved on to some other fresh lie.
Right. They bring up so many topics all at once that it's hard to keep up with at least correcting some of the things that they do say. And every once in a while, it happens here on this program, too. We're talking to somebody, they bring up something, we can't correct them because they moved on to the next topic, or at least the topic that we were talking about. Mm. Yeah, it's tough stuff. And, these people, they do want this one particular agenda, and they want to drive it into the ground. And they aren't ever, and I think this is part of what we're seeing from the entire administration. It's one of the three things that Trump believes in most, and that is to never deny. Always deny.
Yeah.
And
we'll have to find that cut.
Yeah, we got to find that cut. Because there are three things. It was in the.
It's in the movie,
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice, yeah.
It was a very good movie. And there's three things that he learned from Roy Cohn.
Yeah.
And it's Roy Cohn's actual three things, and he adopted them. And do we have that? Did you find it? No?
We're still searching. We'll get to it. In the meantime, let's move on the phone calls
all
here.
Right, yeah, let's move on to Matt.
Matt in Middleton. What's on your mind, Matt?
Hey, guys. It's really quite insane. Why would anyone in Europe or Denmark want to come be part of this mess called America that can't even give its people jobs or health care? We are technically a failed state in a third world country. And this is why they want to get rid of Europe, because it's an example of a democracy that we were supposed to be, but never have been yet. One that works, one that provides for the people, one where the people actually can vote. And I don't know if you guys agree, but I think their parliamentary system might be a little better than ours because these parties are both corrupt. But yeah, it is quite amazing. And a lot of these MAGA, they're so full of Kool-Aid, they can't, it's like the cave, right? They can't see reality for what it is because it would shatter their egos. They'll never accept they're wrong until the camps have already killed people. We've already had World War III. America's been defeated and destroyed, and then they might come around, but not until then, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right.
Yeah, Matt, thank you for that. Yeah,
thanks for calling. And we've got Jean on the line from McClare. What do you got, Jean?
Well, hi, guys. I do love the thing about the glasses. I laughed so hard yesterday, I didn't get a chance to come in. And then this today, too, outstanding. I think that's so great. Well, anyway, what I want to quick say quickly is we got to vote this guy out, and we can't give up. Because they're a pathetic bunch of losers. You know, they practice abusive behavior, and it kind of gives them a little joy, maybe makes them feel like big men or big women. And the thing of it is that this is really abusive to kids. I just learned from somebody that I think it happened today, you know, where kids, grade school kids, you know, were, they were in school and they went on lockdown near Roseville or, you know, somebody had told me that they had just heard of somebody's kid that was there. And school officials had called police, you know, to get the ICE agents off the school grounds. Now, you know, we had enough problems with, you know, gun shooting in schools, you know, and all the BS these people say they love children, you know, and forcing women to have children. I mean, these people are lunatics.
They are.
And the sooner we get that in our heads, the sooner we can fight back and fire them all.
Well, helps me deal with it. Yeah, I know.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. And I know some Democrats definitely want to bring a lot of the administration before them and hold them accountable. It's not getting even. Mm-hmm. It's upholding the law. Or the Constitution in that case. It's up in the features. It should be at the top of the list there, near the top. It's called Feature, Trump's Three Things to Live By.
I found an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually lists even more things.
Yeah,
but,
it actually goes into details.
Yes.
But you recognize each one of these things you can recognize from the entire administration.
Right. Number one, never apologize or admit wrongdoing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, always counterattack and always with greater force than you receive.
That's what they're doing by denying what's going on in Minneapolis.
Always do that, yeah. Number three, use the legal system as a weapon and not a recourse for justice.
That's what they're doing up there, yes.
Manipulate the media ruthlessly. That's number four. That's obvious.
Sure. Tear into the reporters.
Number five, use fear as both a shield and a sword. And number six, build a fortress of loyalty around yourself. So
wow.
He's pretty much accomplished all of those things.
That's not just three. That's how many? Five?
Six.
Six
things from Roy Cohn to Donald Trump.
All right.
Okay, brief timeout. We're back with more after this with John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's John and Gordy.
And it's 23 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are back open. 855-752-4842 coming up in, about 15 minutes. Mike McCabe will join us in studio. He does every Wednesday.
I'm trying to get through all of the text here. I can't really read. It's a little bit smaller than
usual.
My ability to be able to read that stuff.
And
we really appreciate the text today. We got a lot of them and haven't been getting to them because I can't read it from here. And I think that's why I had to take the other glasses off because my eyes are straining. I mean, it's a close resemblance to my prescription.
Yeah.
Let me just put it that way. Let's go to the phones right now.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Mike up in Muscadet.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. I appreciate the dialogue, hearing the chance to speak.
Sure.
You know, one thing that concerns me, is Ilhan Omar.
Yes.
From Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And her husband, not her brother this time, her real husband.
Right.
So she was married to her brother to get over here. But besides that, how did she...
I don't believe that's true, but...
I do, but, you know, you believe whatever you want.
Sure.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yes.
But how does she get to be, like, a wealth of $30, $60 million within a two-year time frame?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, can you answer these questions and maybe some of your knowledgeable, liberal fan?
Well, why don't you just, you know, go to Google and find out for yourself. It now is loaded up with AI, and it'll give you a brief summary in the beginning. And you could also check out some of the articles that are included with your search, and it'll tell you exactly what you need to know in regards to that. Why is she worth so much more now than before she became a representative?
Like I'm supposed to believe that?
Yeah. Well, no, Mike, you got to believe something. I mean, if you believe what you read on right-wing media, why wouldn't you start to believe what's on the left-wing media, which really isn't left-wing at all? It's just media. We used to call it just media. Now it's been named left-wing or woke media, but it's not. It's just media. And if you just check it out, you can look at different articles. You can look at the ones that you favor, the ones that agree with your concept of what happened to her and how she became so wealthy, or you can look at other articles that explain why and step by step the process of how she became wealthy. I mean, it's simple. It's so simple. Just look at Google, Mike. You know?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just called common sense, and that doesn't seem to be so common anymore.
No, you're right. Gentlemen. You're right. I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. Yeah. Common sense.
Doing a quick check here. Google actually attributes her wealth, accelerated wealth to her husband's business ventures. Mm-hmm. Rose Lake Capital, LLC, a venture capital firm valued between $5 and $25 million. They were into that. Also, some other partnership assets that he had. So I'm not sure it was, you know, them together or how long they've been together, but apparently
it seems legitimate.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of quickly amassing wealth after being elected to office, the New York Times reported yesterday that Donald Trump has made at least $1.4 billion so far since becoming president last year.
Oh, well, okay. So he's doing well.
Well, I'm sure Mike is probably on that one, too, and he's pretty angry about it, right?
And the
Trump kids making a whole heck of a lot of money.
The other
That's
thing
for
was,
Trump later on when he gets out of office.
Yeah, Ilhan Omar and her husband got into the winery business, a California-based winery valued at $1 million to $5
million. Yeah.
So, that, you know, add up a few of these, and yeah, they did just fine.
You know,
became very wealthy.
When you're 79 years old.
Yeah.
It's not like you want to start, you know, having a lot of possessions, you know,
right?
Or you can't take it with you, as they always say. Why do you want more? You know, you really can't take it with you. Why do you have to grasp and take everything in sight? What is the point of that?
I think Trump is more interested in the
legacy?
Power. Well, legacy, yes. Yeah, definitely that, because he wants his name on everything.
Right.
He wants statues built to himself. He wants to be on Mount Rushmore. I mean, there's a lot of things that he wants.
Yeah.
But it's also power. It's just a power grab. You know, the wealthier you are, the more powerful on the world stage you become.
Apparently. Well, that's why I don't feel wealthy. I don't have power.
All right. Who's next?
Troy,
here?
What do you got for us today?
Troy from Mount Horeb. Go ahead.
30 seconds. Mike from Muscadet, you're a racist piece of garbage, to quote your orange Jesus.
Okay. Right.
Come up with that. I'll stay FCC compliant, but you come up with that. She's married to her brother, garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that racist trope.
Yeah.
It's just
right?
outrageous.
I don't have a radio show that I have to be nice to people on.
Yeah.
Mm. You know,
well, we like to hear different opinions, and we appreciate Mike for calling.
Opinion, and I'm not ripping on you guys, because you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, that's just out and out racism, and there's no point in that, and there's no place for that.
Well, you know, you could always
disproven billions of times.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to even be racist. All you have to do is look up the facts and find out for yourself, you know, the truth. That's all you're looking for is the truth. And again, Mike is able to stick to one subject at a time.
Yeah, right.
Which I appreciate a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to do a check of the Midwest Farm Report next, and then Mike McCabe will join us after this timeout. It's John and Gordy. Right.
Why? There you go. Yeah, this is John and Gordy in the afternoon, and Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yeah. Right? Boy, that's an oldie.
Yeah, it is.
Way and back.
And it's part of our special guest today's post on Substack.
Yeah. And Mike McCabe joins us now. Yeah, the new post is called The New Company
the
Store.
The New Company Store. Yeah.
And give us a little preview here.
The thing here is, you know, you're talking about, you know, people owning things and being proud of earning what you own and having some, you know, something there that you can show that this is what I work for.
Things actually being made to last.
Yes, made to last.
And being made to be able to be repaired.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. You know, and we've kind of lost that, and we've kind of become a subscriber culture.
Yeah.
And we're very far away from most people really being able to be part of an ownership society where they can experience the American dream. I wrote about all that. And, you know, by way of introduction to the Substack column, I got paid a nice compliment recently by a fellow Substacker who said my Substack was eclectic. And she said, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe I should rename the Substack Box of Chocolates.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
But there is anybody out there who doesn't want to just read about the latest
topic or whatever,
the latest outrages that are going on out of this regime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I try to focus on stuff that is really important for America's future, but that has been driven completely off the radar because of all the daily distractions that are served up by the supreme ruler.
Well, one of the things he brought up is the fact that, you know, when we buy stuff, it's not going to last a long time. So we're
it's designed to break.
Planned obsolescence. Yeah.
So,
right.
So we go out and buy something else, and it keeps commerce going, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That does. Money in their pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just went out and I got a new 4K Blu-ray player. It's a Sony, and it's as bad as the Sony Blu-ray player I bought maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
It didn't improve?
It did not improve.
It's
really odd because Sony has control over the Blu-ray label or the registration on Blu-ray. And they didn't promote it very much. They charge an awful lot to use that symbol. And that's why there aren't a lot of Blu-ray players or Blu-ray discs out there, because Sony's pretty tight on that, and it costs an awful lot. They're not giving anybody a break. But at the same time, I'm trying to get a Blu-ray player. We are in this 21st century, from what I remember, and I can't even get a 4K Blu-ray player that plays Blu-rays all the way through without freezing up or something like that.
And as far as that goes, I will say, since Sony owns Blu-ray, a PlayStation is the best Blu-ray player.
Mm,
a PlayStation 4 or 5, those are the best Blu-ray players. It's just you have to pay a lot because they're also a game console. So you're going to have to pay like $500 for a PS5 if you want a decent Blu-ray player.
You know, I just might do that because I guess the new one is really much better. My son told me about it. Yeah. Yeah. So it is probably a new design using newer chips, whatever it is. Please stop freezing at the end of my movies. You know, it's driving me crazy. And it's like almost at the end and it freezes up and it skips chapters. And I'm just, you know, I've had it. So anyway, it's one of those things where I like to own what I enjoy.
Right.
And that's what I was getting at here.
Right.
Is I like to own it. And I don't want to be dependent on some service saying, now you can watch it, now you can't.
Right.
This is how much it's going to cost. It's just, they have us, you know, and I want to own it, so I don't have to worry about them anymore.
And you know, that's why I call it the new company store, because they do want to own us. They don't want us to own anything.
Right.
They just want us to keep paying subscription fees. They want to us to have to keep paying them to see any content. They don't want us to own something and actually make it ours. And you know, they don't want us, they don't think of us as customers anymore. They just see us as consumers. And that's a, I think that's a fundamental difference that has happened with American business, is American businesses used to have relationships with their customers.
Right.
And even think about customer service now. They're killing off customer service by turning it over to all these AI bots. And I don't know a single person who does not end up absolutely exasperated dealing with one of these bots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long does it take your average person to scream into the phone, I want to talk to a person?
Yes.
And they now have the bots trained to say, you know, I know that this is frustrating, but, you know, which of the following options would you like
to
choose?
Exactly, yes.
You know, it's it's crazy. And it's because they no longer want us to be customers, and they certainly don't want us to own anything. And that's really what the article's all about.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah, how do we get that personal connection back?
Yeah, we've got a president that wants to own everything. Hold everything. It's an emotional thing for him, you know. So,
and he doesn't understand that you know, that he's not the only one who should be able to act on that impulse.
Exactly.
And you know, most of us would like to actually own a movie or own an oven that actually is ours. And he you know, he can't resist his impulses because he wants to own Greenland.
No. Which is a little bigger than ovens at home.
A little bigger than the oven. Yeah. Mm.
So, I know. It's almost like, would it be possible to kind of reverse this trend, to give people ownership of things again, to, you know, allow people to earn something and hold on to it?
Yep.
Is it possible to even return to those times?
It's certainly possible, but it'll require a real big shift in our culture, not just a shift in our politics or our economics, but it'll have to require a shift in our culture, which will then be eventually reflected in our politics, and that could end up moving the economy. These economic actors that want us to simply be a subscriber culture, and they want us to forever pay them the fees, and they want to be forever in ownership, and they don't want us to ever own anything. They'll keep right on doing it until they're told they can't. And of course, that's when major economic change always comes about, is when people decide, look, we're citizens, we're not subjects, we're customers, we're not, you know, we're not your faithful subscribers. We, you know, when they insist on some change, then there's change. But that requires cultural shift.
Well, we have Brett right here. Yeah. Saying best way to get a representative on the phone while dealing with a bot, speak gibberish to the bot. Maybe that'll do something. I'm not sure.
I have to try that.
You know, that is one of the things that does cheer me in these dismal times, is just the creativity of human beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, right? I saw something the other day about people who have started putting magnetic Mexican flags on ice vehicles.
Right.
Just to make them take the time to have to try to peel them off.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And just wasting their time. And I've talked to so many people I know in the Twin Cities who say that they've got these vast networks of people who will blow whistles and bang pots and pans and go out in the street and just delay them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, human beings are so doggone creative. I love that idea. of ways to subvert the intentions of these companies.
AI.
What they don't want to provide customer service.
Yeah.
They want us to pay, and if we don't like what we get, they don't want any accountability. They want no recourse.
You spent your money, that's it.
That's right. We're
going to
keep collecting your money, but we're not going to correct any problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're putting up basically this firewall to let these machines seal them off from any customer accountability.
Right.
And so if speaking gibberish to one of those things gets you a human being on the line, I love the creativity.
Well, we have somebody here. Is it own or be owned? That's from Len.
Len in Madison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
That's what Shakespeare might be saying if he were living in our time.
Yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Own or be owned, that's the question.
Yeah, but so how do we get anywhere from this? I mean, I'm sure, we can try to find mom and pop stores that still exist for some of the things that you can get. And we all try to encourage that. We don't want to lose that part of America. But boy, that's really tough in the smaller rural areas to find little businesses that can still exist and get by and, make ends meet.
I'm going to tell you my story, my evolution in all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I used to... I like the internet. I like shopping on the internet, mm-hmm. and I'd find a lot of product on the internet, but I always wanted to at least find it, know that it was there, and then shop locally. That was the original intent, and then eventually I just gave up.
Yep.
You just give up.
You couldn't find it.
Yeah. You couldn't find it, or it cost too much, or you had to order it through them instead of, you having it sent directly to you. I felt like I could take control, and we feel like we have some control.
Yep.
I think that's the other part of this equation, is we think we can do that. We can buy it anytime we want. We can find anything we want. We can own it all, but we're not owning anything.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my evolution. Sadly, I just gave up, apparently.
Okay. We're taking your calls at 855-752-4842 as we continue our conversation with Mike McCabe. Speaking of all this corporate ownership, and, it seems like the only place you can go for a lot of things is big box stores or order it online or Amazon. What's your take on consumers boycotting different corporations, depending on who they're supporting politically or who they're helping politically?
I think people have to be creative. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat.
It's okay.
It's okay. Take all the time you need. Yeah. Here.
Here's a bottle of water.
Why don't you give him a cough drop?
I do have those too.
You run out of those?
Okay.
Gordy's famous cough drops.
I do have those too, by the way.
I don't want to tell you what's in them, though.
These are times that call for creativity.
Yeah.
Those are some Hall's cough drops.
We're
going to
take a break here.
That's what we should do. We'll get the oxygen tank for Mike. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's John and Gordy with our special guest, Mike McCabe from Substack, and we're talking about owning things or being owned. And way back when, in the olden days, the men owned everything and women did not own anything unless they were allowed to by their husbands. What a strange time that must have been.
Yeah.
How long ago are we talking about that?
It was not until 1974 that women could get their own bank accounts and get their own credit card.
Yeah.
Without a male a spousal co-signer.
Co-signer, yeah.
Wow.
And so when people talk about the good old days, let's go back to the 1950s or let's go back to the 1920s or let's go back to the 1890s, half of the population was told you can't have a bank account or a credit card unless you have a male cosigner. Mm-hmm. Unless your husband is
when
willing.
When did they invent credit cards? In the 50s sometime? I think American Express or one of those was the first credit card. And I mean, what did we do before credit cards existed? Up credit card debt.
There used to be a cash society or a cash economy, but
right?
You know, that's kind of gone. And they could write checks, but
sure.
Yeah. The checks were always a pain in the butt, especially if you wrote in cursive. I don't want to get into that. Here's the thing. I remember there was a discussion just recently that I heard where a conservative was arguing that women should have babies. They shouldn't go out into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then another person chimed in and said, yeah, but that's like a $14,000 tax on them because you're taking $14,000 in earnings or whatever it is every year from that woman who has a baby. You're actually punishing them. You're penalizing them instead of allowing them to do whatever they want to do. You know, there's almost a way that the right wing wants to make that kind of a law, a thing now, where you actually have to get permission or you can't go out and work, or they're making it more difficult to go out and work now, and then giving it a dollar figure, which $14,000, I don't know where they came up with that. But anyway, it's like a tax, and then they make it sound bad because it's like a tax, and they take all this money away from people. So what is your feeling on, you know, giving any kind of chance that this society will actually maybe reject some of these ideas at this point? Because I don't know, it seems like the movement is going in the other direction. They want to go back to a time that never really existed, but a more repressive time.
The push is going in the opposite direction.
Yes.
But I don't think that push is a movement.
Okay. Mm.
There are powerful people who are pushing to get us to go back.
Yeah.
To what was,
mm-hmm.
But I think the American people have moved on.
I think so too. I think we've moved on.
Oh, the American people don't want women to be owned.
Yes,
they don't want women to be regarded as chattel,
right?
Which is what women originally were under the law.
Mm-hmm.
They were the property of their husbands. They were chattel, and people don't. You want to go back, and certainly half of the population doesn't want to go back to those kind of days. So there are some very powerful people who want to push our society back in that direction. But I think the movement,
mm-hmm.
the social movement, is still marching forward. It's facing some powerful headwinds. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some powerful forces trying to resist that forward movement,
right.
But I think people want, you know, gender equality.
They do, and we're getting a few texts here from CJ, who's trying to make an argument here. Your party can't define a woman and believes men can have babies. And then he asks, what is a woman? See, this is how they actually bring this topic up, and they demean women by making them into, again, chattel.
Well, it's always changing the subject. If there's one argument where they don't have any ground to stand on, then they just try to change the ground on which everybody has to stand, and they hope that maybe that'll work better for them. But, you know, it's always the distraction. It's always the changing of subjects. It's always...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but what about this?
Right,
yeah. It's what aboutism.
It's kind of comical from a logical standpoint.
I always get that answer for them. You know, it's like, well, can you tell me what a woman is? You know, it's like it's just so stupid. You know, so many people came up with great answers on that. They apparently ignored the answers that were given when asked that question.
You know, one of the things I wrote about in my article was that the very first legislation I ever worked on, I was fresh out of college, and I was working as a state assembly aide.
You have that
aide.
In the article, yes.
Yeah, was marital property reform.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And one of the most amazing Wisconsin lawmakers ever, one of the most prolific Wisconsin lawmakers ever, was a woman named Mary Lou Muntz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she authored that legislation. And I, as just a little more than a clerk. I got to sit in on all these skull sessions, all these strategy sessions in Mary Lou Muntz's office as she plotted the march toward getting this legislation enacted and signed into law eventually. And at that time, women, what was the husbands was the husbands,
right.
and the wife didn't have any claim to that marital property, and all that changed because of that legislation, and that didn't happen until the mid-80s.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing. Mike, we have to leave it there.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Check out Mike McCabe at Substack, and we'll be back after the news with our final hour of John and Gordy for this Wednesday after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.